I would like to pray as we get started. And we've been sitting for a little while. How about let's stand just to get the blood flowing. I'm going to pray for us. Let's stand if you're able, just to help us as we get through. And then we'll get into these parables that Jesus has just been teaching. Let me pray for us. Lord God, we come before you now, realizing that you have the words of life. And I pray that these words that Jesus spoke to his disciples, that they will be imprinted on our hearts and that you will be changing us today. Please be working through me and please use me as your servant to preach your word faithfully. Amen. Please take a seat. I wanted to start off by asking everyone, well, what does a normal week look like for you at the moment? Just have a think. What does normal life look like? Just the day-to-day. I've been reading that for a whole lot of grandparents, it looks like looking after the grandkids. A third of grandparents look after their grandkids these days. If that's not you, maybe you know someone who that is true for. Just a part of normal life, week-to-week routines. Layla Park, Kings Langley, 200 properties bought and sold in the past year, and many, many more rented out as well. Maybe property has been something that you've been involved with, or at least it has been for a lot of people in Sydney, hasn't it? I feel like that's talk of the town, always talking about property. It's the normal part of life, it seems. Anyone been to any weddings recently? I've been to a few. In 2024, there was 120,000 marriages in 2024. That's a lot of people getting married. That's a normal part of everyday life, isn't it? And it's really, really exciting. I love going to weddings. And friends, normal life, that's how Jesus has been describing to his disciples what life is going to be like when he comes back. Let me read from a little bit where earlier in Matthew chapter 24, he's been sitting on the Mount of Olives with some of his disciples and he's been teaching them. And last week we heard Jesus say this, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying, being given in marriage, up until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." And so last week we were really looking at, well, we can't know when Jesus is going to come back. He is coming back, but we can't know when. And so the question that we're going to be looking at today is, well, how do we live in light of that truth? We can't know when Jesus is going to be coming back, but what do we do now? What do we do now while we wait? And today, Jesus, he points us towards talking about what our lives should look like now in light of what is to come. And so the big question we're going to have to answer for ourselves is, are we ready for Jesus to come back, or are we distracted by normal life that just carries on week in, week out? Today, as we just had read, Jesus uses three parables to explain what our lives should look like in light of his return, how we live now. And we see that the first action is to live as trusted servants. As trusted slaves. Live as trusted slaves. And that's the first parable that we had read, where we have a master in charge of a big estate, and he goes away, and he leaves a slave in charge. I'm just going to read from Matthew chapter 24, verse 45. I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles. "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all of his possessions." Just want to point out here that we're going to see the word servant repeated again and again and again. And this original word, it's doulos in the Greek. And so all throughout here, you're seeing doulos, 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 doulos. This means slave, the lowest in society. Slaves had masters. Slaves did what their masters told them to do. It wasn't a matter of them picking what they wanted to do. They just did it. They had to obey their masters. And so this is Jesus claiming ownership of our entire lives here. Friends, how does Paul start off his letters when he writes them? Paul, a slave of Christ, doesn't he? We live as slaves to the best master that we could ever have, Jesus Christ. And as slaves, what are we meant to do? I love the CSB version of this because it says, blessed is that servant, slave, whom the master finds doing his job when he comes. As slaves to Christ, we're meant to be doing our job. You can imagine this master, he is in charge of this big rural property, right? He's got lots of people working for him and he needs to go away on business. So he puts a servant in charge, one of his slaves. And he says, all right, here's the keys to the house. Here's the keys to all the storehouses. Make sure everyone's fed. Make sure all the animals are tended to and cared for. And then he goes away. And now the faithful servant, he's not just sitting in the window waiting for his master to return. But no, he's meant to be doing his job, isn't he? He's been put in charge of looking after the property. He's meant to be doing his job. When the master returns, everything should be functioning as he had left it, if not better. Faithful and wise servant. It reminds me of the time when I was given keys to the household as a teenager. I'm the oldest of three kids, and my parents went away. And so I got given, I already had keys to the house, but the fridge was fully stocked. That was a luxury. And I've always really, really loved cheese. And I was never allowed to, but I took this opportunity as master of the household for a little moment just to get that 1 kilo block of cheese and just go to town. I love cheese. Oh man, I think I ate half the kilo block. I wasn't a particularly good steward at that point in time, was I? I wasn't caring for my brother and sister. Luckily, there was other food for them to eat, maybe just not cheese. Thankfully, that was a bit of a low-stakes scenario, wasn't it? But the example that Jesus gives of like the contrast of what the wicked servant does, he gets put in charge, and what does he do? He thinks, you beauty, master's gone away. I've got access to everything that I want. Oh, he starts beating up his other slaves. Keys to the storehouses, wine, beer, all the cheese that he could ever want. He goes for it, doesn't he? A wicked slave. And verse 50 of chapter 24 says this, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour that he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is a harsh, harsh punishment, isn't it? Friends, this slave had been given a job to do and he didn't do it. He abused what had been given to him by his master. So I think this leaves us asking the question of ourselves, well, which slave are we? Where's our heart at? Our master, Jesus, he has gone away. He is coming back one day. How do we live in light of him being gone? Are we the faithful and wise slave? Or are we all too often tempted to be like the wicked slave, thinking, you beaut, I can live life how I want right now. No one's watching. Jesus has given us a job to do as his slaves. And it's up to us how we respond. Are we ready or are we distracted by normal everyday life? Are we doing our job or are we just distracted? You might be asking though, well, Ben, what is our job? You said do your job. What is the job that we are meant to be doing? I think this is where the parable of the gold bags that we had read is really, really helpful. And this is the second action that we're meant to take as we on how to live while waiting. We're meant to maximize our master's assets. Maximize our master's assets. So I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, just for a little bit. Jesus talking about what life should be like here in light of heaven to come. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called together his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who'd received 5 bags of gold went at once, put his money to work, and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. I just want to make 2 observations from just this first little bit of the parable. First up, if you have your Bibles open, you'll notice that there's probably a footnote down the bottom. There is in the Pew Bibles, talking about these gold bags. And the word originally is talent. That was the currency they had. 1 talent. You might know this as the parable of the talents. In this case, the NIV has chosen to call them gold bags. And they've called them gold bags because 1 talent is 20 years of wages as a laborer. Now, today, if you were a laborer working full-time, $60,000 a year maybe, it was just online. So 1 talent, that's like $1.2 million. 2 talents, $2.5 million. 5 talents, $6 million, let's call it that. This is an incredible amount of money that these slaves have been given. This is a lot. We hear in the parable that the master, he could have given it to the bankers. Banks existed then, but he chose to give it to his slaves and entrust the money to them. That's just the first observation. Secondly, in verse 15, it says, each according to his ability. So one got 5, one got 2, one got 1. Each according to his ability. And I think this is profound because here we have the acknowledgement that people are made differently. We have different capacities, different skills, different capabilities, different ways of dealing with stress and money and whatever we've been given. Each person is made differently and uniquely, and God distributes to us, his slaves, according to our ability. And he expects us to get an investment on his return, on what he has given us. Note that these things belong to God. I wonder what has God given you? I used to think this parable is all about money. I think it's more than that. It could be skills. It could be money. Influence. Children. Strength. Time. Memory. Intellect. Having the Bible in our own language. I'll tell you what, studying at Bible college, it is a slog reading the Old Testament languages and Greek as well. My goodness, I'm so thankful for the NIV, ESV, all the translations we have. That is a gift from God, friends. Note that these things belong to God. We like to think that our money is ours, that the skill that we have is ours. But friends, these are God-given things. He's given them to us, his slaves. We are his stewards. This is the way that the Bible talks about it sometimes. We're meant to steward what God has given us. Reminded me of when we got some strawberry seedlings one time. Cute little strawberry seedlings. Now, can you imagine if we just took those home and just left them there, no water, no nothing? They would very quickly just die, wouldn't they? You need to take care of them. Well, we did. We gave them some space, gave them some water. Boom, away they go. October, November, we were loving strawberries. That was if Max didn't get to them first. He got very good at finding those red strawberries hiding in there. Andrew, you can tell me all the things I'm doing wrong later. So, but but for us to actually get something out of those little strawberry seedlings, we had to do something, didn't we? Give them some water, give them some time, give them some space. The gold bags that God gives us, are we putting them to work? Or are we being lazy? Are we sitting on them? Because one day God is going to call us to account for how we have used what he has entrusted to us. And we know that because that's what the parable talks about. And to the slaves who had been given 5 gold bags and 2 gold bags, verse 21, how does the master respond when he comes back? He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Come, share in your master's happiness." He gave them a few things. $6 million, that's a few things. Friends, we have so much more to look forward to in heaven. So much more. And secondly, come and join in your master's happiness. Slaves only existed to make their masters happy, to work for their master. And the master is saying to lowly slaves, come and join me. Everything that I have, you can enjoy. It's amazing. Well done, good and faithful servant. Compare that to the wicked slave. He comes forward with a whole bunch of excuses. I knew you're a hard man. You're reaping where you do not sow. Here's your talent. Here's your gold bag back. What does the master say to him? Verse 26. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that I would have received some interest. Take that bag away from him," verse 30, "and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The master, he takes the excuse that the slave has and he turns it straight back on him. "You knew that I was that way? You knew that I expected a return on my investment and you were still lazy. Out." Laziness. That is what the master is furious at with this slave. Friends, for us to hide our gold bags is to neglect opportunities for glorifying God when we have them. Jesus he's called us together and he said, "All right, to you, I'm going to give you some kids. To you, I'm going to give you some money. Here's a uni degree. Here's a trade qualification. Here's some intellect. Here's some skill. Use these things to grow my kingdom, to give me a return on my investment. Don't go growing your own kingdom." Friends, so many people here do this so well. Let me encourage you with that. Since coming here over the past year, I've seen the ways that so many people take what God has given them and use them to serve him. Here at church, during the week, it's a real encouragement. So please hear that encouragement. You're doing really well. But I know for me and for many other people, it can be a struggle, can't it? It can be a struggle just to keep remembering what our job is. That we're meant to be taking what God has given us, that we're meant to steward it and then put it into action. How? I want to say first up, prayer. Prayer, it's the starting point that we need to have. Maybe we get a pay raise at work. Maybe we get a promotion. Maybe we get a bonus, whatever it might be. We bring that to God in prayer and say, "God, I've got this extra money. What do you want me to do with it?" Maybe we've gone from 5 days' work down to 3 days' work. You beaut, 2 days spare to do whatever I want. We can so quickly forget that we need to pray, don't we? We need to ask God for wisdom with that extra time that we now have. We can so easily use it to grow our own kingdom, can't we? Friends, God has given us so much. Let us be prayerful. I love this quote from a guy named Joel. "Remember that prayer, it's not an appendix to your life and your work. It is your life, your real spiritual life and your work." Especially this last line, "Prayer is the thermometer of your soul." How are we going, bringing our gold bags to God and just saying, "God, what do you want me to do with what you've given me?" How are we going with that? God has given us so much. Secondly, let me encourage us to maximize our efforts. Maximize our time and our efforts and our money and our energy. You might know this guy on the screen. This is young Billy Graham. The biggest evangelist for the past century. Millions of people, tens of millions of people around the world heard this guy preach. I'm reading through his biography at the moment. It's a big book. It's going to take me a long time. I'm up to the point where he's 32 years old, just getting started out on his campaigns. And he, at this point, in 1 year in America, had preached to 1.5 million people. 1 year, 1.5 million people. And their communication cards equivalent, they had 50,000 people tick that box saying, I want to become a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. 50,000 people. Now just imagine if Billy Graham thought, you know what, this is all a bit too hard. This is a lot of effort. And he talks about that in his book. This is too hard. I'm away from my family too much. All I want to do is I just want to go back to my forest lodge with my wife and my kids and just have a normal life like everyone else. Friends, people like my dad wouldn't have become a Christian. Maybe there's people sitting here who became a Christian at one of the Billy Graham Crusades. Maybe you know someone. I think Sydney would be a very different place if it wasn't for Billy Graham and all the effort that him and his whole team poured in. Now, we don't have to be Billy Graham. We don't have to minister to 2 million people a year. That's okay. Maybe it's two. Maybe it's two. But remember what God has given us. We're meant to steward it, and he expects a return on his investment. And lastly, I just want to speak to the parents from my very limited parenting knowledge, but remember that children are a gift from God as well. They've been given to us by God to steward. And we're meant to look after them and grow them and pray for them and teach them how to walk in the ways of the Lord. So are we stewarding our children? Are we teaching them? Are we praying with them? Maddie and I have been, we've both read this book, Habits of the Household, and other parents might know other books as well. I've got a copy here. If you wanted to pick up one later. And it just talks about in all of the small moments, just in your family rhythms and routines, this isn't talking about massive overhauls, but how can you be pointing your children to see Christ as the person who shapes your life and everything that you do? Are you praying with them as they head off to school, or just those small little moments, whatever it might be? So I commend this book to you. You're welcome to come and grab that. But are we stewarding our children? Are we teaching them? Are we growing them? Are we working hard? Or are we distracted by normal life that just keeps going on around us? Friends, these parables tell us that we need to be ready. No one knows. They knew nothing. They did not expect him. But also notice, it's a long time. They had to wait a long time in coming, especially in the parable of the 10 virgins, the 10 bridesmaids. And so this is where, much more briefly for this last point, we see that we need to live as trusted slaves by maximizing our master's assets for a long time. Jesus has been gone 2,000 years. He could come back tomorrow. He could come back in 2,000 years' time. We need to be ready for the long haul. We need endurance. This life that we live, it's not a sprint to the end. It is a marathon. I just want to read verse 5 from chapter 25 very quickly. The groom, was a long time in coming. All the bridesmaids, they fell asleep. They became drowsy. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." All the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Oi, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied. "There might not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. And the door was shut. Notice here, they're not told off for going to sleep. That's not what they're told off for. Everyone goes to sleep. What they are told off for is not being prepared for the long wait. They had to go buy oil. They missed the groom. The door was shut. Friends, that's when our life ends, or when Jesus comes back. Whatever is first, the door is shut. It's too late to make a choice then. I ran a marathon once. It was 4 or 5 years ago. There's me looking very chirpy at the end, the fact that I'd made it the whole way. This was my friend Daniel who ran it with me. And I guarantee you, the last hour before that photo was taken, I was not looking that happy. 30 kilometers to 42 kilometers, my goodness. That was a struggle. That was really, really hard. Friends, let us remember that this life, living as slaves to Christ, it is a marathon, it isn't a sprint. You can make it for the first little bit of your life, to the end of school, to the end of your career, to retirement time, and then if you give up then, it's all for nothing. This life is a marathon. We need to go towards the end. Keep enduring. Because we're going to be met with two responses on that final day. It'll be either, I don't know you, wicked, lazy slave, throw him outside. Oh, well done, good and faithful servant. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come join in your master's happiness. Come enjoy everything that I have prepared for you. Friends, as Hebrews says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So, normal life continues. Week in, week out, we just have our usual routines. They keep happening. But what do we do now while we're waiting? While we're waiting for Jesus to return? Friends, let us live as trusted slaves by maximizing our master's assets. Be ready to do that for a long time. Pray that he comes back tomorrow, but let us be ready to do that for a long time. And next week, we're going to look at, what are the consequences of the choices that we make now? What are the eternal consequences? We've started to see that today. And the next parable that Jesus goes on to tell makes it blatantly obvious. So that's coming up next week. Are we ready for Christ's return, or are we distracted by normal, everyday life? Friends, we've been given so much by God. All these gold bags that God has given us, each and every one of us. For our one big thing time today, I want us just to sit, reflect on what God has given us. Are we using that to grow his kingdom or not? Spend some time in prayer if you want. I'll give us 2 minutes and then I'll pray just at the end. So I'll give us a moment to do that now. Let me just close in prayer. Lord God, we just want to pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Listen to creation groaning and crying out. Lord, in the meantime, please help us to live faithfully by doing the job that you have given us to do. We thank you so much for everything that you have blessed us with. Give us wisdom as we steward what you have given us. As we look forward to Christ returning. Lord, please help us to endure, to run the race that's been set before us by Christ. Amen.